this episode of Get Real Podcast, I have Gabi McCreary. Gabi, isn't that an amazing name? I freaking love it. She is the beautiful wife of Scotty McCreary, and we talk about their love story. They met when they were so young, back in the day. I'm talking like elementary school. And Scotty was Gabi's first crush. They've had a crush on each other all throughout growing up. And then she was there when he had his American Idol days, when he came back from American Idol to high school. And then they really just cemented their love story. And it's so sweet. It's such a great story. Such pure hearts. These two people, Scotty and Gabi, have to have the sweetest, purest hearts ever. We talk about their engagement story, how he almost fell off a cliff. It's epic. He made it. Everything's fine. And just all about life, how she's adjusted to life on the road with him, how she's seen him go from a regular guy to superstar overnight, the highs and lows of the music career, because even though he is a star and has had so many amazing things happen, he's also had some dips in his career and how they navigated that. It's so inspiring. Here she is, Gabi McCreary. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
So I'm here with Gabi McCreary.
Yes.
What's up, girl?
Hey. Good
to see you. And you're fresh off the airplane.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you flew in from?
From Raleigh. Our home's in Raleigh, so yeah.
That's where you're born and raised.
Yes.
That's where you met Scotty.
Yes.
In kindergarten?
In kindergarten, yeah.
Okay, I just want to go ahead and start with this story. Because when we were talking before we started the podcast, you're like, I had a crush on him in kindergarten.
Yeah. Yeah.
So y'all been in love since kindergarten.
Yeah. No, kind of crazy story. Yeah, me and my best friend. So in kindergarten class, I met my best friend, and Scotty was in it as well. And in my diary, like years later in high school, actually, I think it was after he started dating. My mom pulls this out. This is only like a month after dating too. So I was like so embarrassed.
Oh my gosh.
I had hearts written with Scotty's name all in it from kindergarten. And then all through elementary school, me and my best friend were like obsessed with him. But
so your best friend was also obsessed with him?
Yeah.
And you won.
Well, she won first. So in elementary school, she dated him in like fifth grade.
She got
but
to him
she
first.
She could like literally do no wrong. So I was like, you have him great. As long as one of us has him, this is perfect.
Were you jealous a little bit?
No, like that's what's so weird. I don't remember ever being jealous, but granted, we were in fifth grade, so I don't know.
Did they like do any little like kissing or anything?
No, she said they were really awkward together.
It's awkward when you're dating.
I think she said once they started dating, they stopped talking completely. So they
that's how I used to be in elementary school. Like when you get a boyfriend, you avoid him.
Right. Yeah. Because you're just, you're kids and you're awkward.
Yeah, because you're like, oh no, now I like am dating you. What do I do?
Yeah.
Let me not talk to you ever.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, years down the line, then that all came about. But we went to school all growing up, elementary, middle, high school. So we like knew each other, kind of hung out in the same friend group, but always stayed just friends.
Was the crush still there the whole time?
You know, like in middle school, I feel like it kind of like phased out, but like I was never worried about boys in middle school. Like we just had our own little friend group and we did our thing like as girls. But once, I don't know, just high school came around and like we just were friends. Like it didn't ever really faze me that much. And then he went on American Idol.
Were y'all dating other people in high school? And
I never dated anyone else in high school.
So your heart has belonged to Scotty your whole life.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my goodness.
That's so weird to say, but I guess. Clearly it was in the back of my head the whole time. I was like, nope, I'm waiting for him.
Oh my gosh, did he date anybody else?
He dated someone in middle school, I think, but that was just like a middle school thing.
And but really no one else?
Yeah.
So y'all kind of were like,
we're like our first like real relationship and we stuck it out.
Stop.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, most people have like multiple relationships that they go through and learn things, but we just.
Was he your first kiss?
Made it work. No. Not my first kiss.
So you did kiss someone else.
Yeah, I did kiss someone else.
Okay. So when he goes on American Idol, where are y'all in school?
So when he went on American Idol, we were juniors in high school.
And y'all were just friends at this point.
And we were just friends.
But were y'all like best friends?
I wouldn't say best friends. His like friend group was a whole bunch of guys that was a year older. Mm-hmm. And my friend group was like all my gals that were like our age. So like we definitely like mingled together at times, but like had different like I don't know. I guess like I said, I just was not like boy crazy. Kind of thing. I was just doing my own thing. So, but we were still like friends, and like we would have lunch together and hang and do different things. So like that was definitely a thing. And when he came back, this is funny. When he came back from American Idol, I just remember, so me and my friend Jordan were walking. We had like a whole bunch of class together, and we were walking through the hallways in the middle of a class doing something. I don't remember what. And like the hallways were empty because it was like during class time. And this was the first time we saw Sky since he came back. And
was it weird when he came back? Yes. Like the champion of American Idol?
Yeah, like we're all like, we're like, he's this big star. Well, and he has this police officer that's escorting him everywhere. So we're just like, oh, like,
oh my gosh, because he comes back to high school.
Yeah, he comes back to high school, yeah. And so we're like, oh, kind of thing. And we both kind of pass him and just say, hey. And he's trying to like genuinely have a conversation because he's like, the poor guy's like, I'm a normal person. I want everyone to treat me normal. Meanwhile, he's got like police escorting him and like cameras following him and stuff. And like, we didn't know that at the time, but, you know, in his head, that's what he's always told me he's thinking.
Well, and he's probably thinking, like, I've known y'all my whole life. I'm still the same Scotty. But yeah, when someone goes on American Idol and wins it, right, especially when there's
everyone
not, like...
Everyone starts viewing them different.
Yeah, and it's not like there's, like, all these celebrities just walking around your high school halls.
Right, that's not, like, a normal thing. So, like, when you've seen him on national television, and, like, there's been all these big fan club parties and all these things that have happened, sorry. like, I don't know, just... Yeah, you're just kind of like, you are starstruck when you first see him, and you're like, okay, well, he's not quite the same.
Did he come back with a different swagger?
I wouldn't say he did. No, he, that's one thing I do love about him. Through everything, he's like probably one of the most humble people. And that's where I think we kind of get along, because I don't know, we just both are kind of that way. But he stayed humble so much through it all, so like he doesn't think anything of himself at this point. He's just like, I'm just a normal guy, I'm just trying to do high school like a normal kid, like I just want to be normal again.
Right.
And I mean, things had changed, so clearly like his whole world had like flip-flopped. So it was definitely an interesting process.
So how did he readjust back into high school after being a champion? And could he even go to school now that he's touring? And like,
yeah, so he did school. He did Monday through Wednesday, or Thursday. He was touring with Brad at the time, I believe.
Paisley?
Yes. Is that right? I think he was. But anyways, Monday through Wednesday or Thursday, he was in classes. And then Thursday or Friday through Sunday, he was gone. So, like, he was only there for a couple of days a week, but, like, obviously he made it work.
And his teachers in the school let him
and
have
they understood,
that.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, which is really nice. But, I mean, I just don't feel like every day you hear of a kid wanting to come back to school and do that stuff, because once they hit it big, it's usually, like, they're on to other things.
So he wanted to finish his high school diploma, get his high school degree.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we were actually in the same English class, I think, our senior year. I think that's the only class we had together. But, but yeah, no, it was definitely interesting. But once he got back, it was funny too, because there was a day that they had, I don't know if it was people come out or, I think it was people, and they were filming him all day. They were sticking with him all day. And so I remember he was trying to come and hang, like we all like hung around the parking lot after school sometimes. And, he was trying to come like hang by us in immediate, like I do not do well like with cameras usually, like I just don't like attention at all. So like when that started walking towards us, I said nope, and I like skirted out. I was like, yo, I can't do this. And so he's like trying to hang, and everyone's just getting kind of like weird and awkward, you know, doing their thing, whatever. And it was homecoming week, so like it was a big week too. So like we do a big parade on Friday, a big like pep rally before that, and then there's like the big football game, obviously. And when you do like the everyone walks out on the field, like if you're on homecoming court, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, we were on homecoming court,
and he was on homecoming court too.
Both he was were. Not. He was not. I was.
Okay.
He was kind of new. I guess I don't know if he like exempted himself from that, or if maybe he wasn't back by the time voting started. I don't really remember.
Okay.
But anyways, I was on homecoming court. My best friend had made homecoming court too, so we were like doing it together. Hype. And didn't think anything of it. Went home actually after, because I was in this dress, and I was like, I just feel very awkward going into the student section wearing a dress. Like I forgot to bring a change clothes. So I go home, don't think anything. my friends go to cookout and they're all like, we're hanging with Scotty at cookout. How cool. Like casual. And then later that night I get a text and it's from him. Like I didn't have his number saved in my phone or anything. And he's just like, hey, I did not win homecoming queen. I didn't expect to. he texted me and like pulled, like it was sweet, but you know,
what'd he
like
say?
It was just like, you should have won. I thought you should have won or something. And I'm like, what is he doing texting me? Like, what
so
is
you're
this?
Like, is this a flirt?
Yeah. I'm like, so is this him making a move? So of course I'm texting my friends, cause you know, that's the thing to do. You're just like, oh my gosh, what do I say back? Like, what's the next best thing to do? But then from there we just kept talking and things.
So is that where it started?
That's where it started.
So yeah. He came back from American Idol and he is like, okay, I'm ready to make you my girlfriend.
Yeah. So it's like, just like insane when you look back at it. Because
you
like,
think he would be getting famous. He would not want to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he was more ready than ever to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Which was... Well,
did it give him clarity that he was like, loved you or something? Or what? Have you ever talked about why he wanted to get in a relationship?
He has told me that. He said that like while he... It was funny. One of his good buddies asked me to prom junior year while he was gone. And he said he got real upset about that because he was like, whoa, like I've always, if I went to prom, like she's the one I would have asked kind of thing. And he said kind of at that moment, I think he realized like, oh, I really like her. And I guess he just, I did not make it easy for him. I was trying to hide in all these areas because I was like, I don't want any of this attention. Like you do your thing kind of thing. And
but he was like, no.
He was pretty adamant about it. Yeah.
So how did the pursuit go?
Well, so we started like texting, doing that. Our first like sit down meal was Bojangles. It was before a football game. We went there and then came back. And then we just kind of went from there. I will say he asked me to be in his music video for Trouble with Girls.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. There was a whole bunch of people. Like it was being filmed at the high school, but he had texted me saying, hey, do you want to come to the high school and be a part of this music video? So my parents were out of town. I was staying at my best friend's house and they had to get like all these like things signed. So they're signing them and sending them back. They're like freaking out. They're like, this is so cool. But in my head, I'm thinking, I'm just going to be an extra. You're going to see me walking in the hallways. That'll be cool.
Were you the lead?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You were the lead?
And I'm freaking out because I'm like, there are plenty of girls. Like, I did not. I just wore like a basic like V-neck tee and shorts. And there are girls who are decked out in like dresses and different things. Like, you know.
So he sprung the lead on you and you didn't even know?
Yeah.
That is one smooth move right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about locking in a girlfriend.
Yeah. I was very, going back, had I known in advance, I absolutely wouldn't have done it. Like,
so
I would have panicked.
You're gonna be the lead.
It was just all of a sudden, it was like someone came up to me and they were like, B, you need to be like, Sky wants you outside right now, kind of thing. And so I'm like, okay. It was like a whirlwind day. And I was just like, it until like 8 p.m., we were there.
What did you do as a lead? Like, what was the role? How did it go?
I walked down the halls with him.
Were you like holding hands?
I don't think we were holding hands.
Okay.
I literally just laugh the whole time because I don't know what else to do. Because when I get awkward, I'm just like, ha, ha, ha.
Were y'all supposed to be boyfriend, girlfriend in the video?
I guess, yeah. Because, I mean, if you listen to the lyrics of Trouble with Girls, it's about, like, how he likes a girl, I guess. Or girls, I don't know, whatever.
So he also wrote this song and dedicated it to you, basically. Or recorded this song for you.
You know, yeah.
He was laying on the moves.
He really went. Looking back, I'm like, whoa. Like, you were coming on strong.
Strong play. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm one of those people that I downplay things a lot, and I don't really, like, well, that's not true, because I definitely overthink things, too. I don't know. I just didn't, in the moment, like, if I'm in a moment, I'm just, like, going. Like, I'm not thinking necessarily about it. It's aftermath that I'm like, holy crap, what just happened? Like, what's going on? I do remember telling my parents, and they're like, you were the what? Like,
you were the lead? So what happened after the video was done? So after this, you're like, okay, so that was awesome, and I had no idea.
We stayed really late that night, I remember, and until he was done filming. They were filming on the baseball field. And then I don't, you know, it's kind of one of those things where like from there it just hit off. Like we just were a thing, like we just started hanging out more, going on dates more. And then next thing you know, like.
Did he ask you to be his girlfriend or did it just happen?
No, so that was something I had to push him towards, because he was very awkward, like, with the ladies to begin with anyways. But I remember it was New Year's, and he still hadn't kissed me, and I was like,
so how long had y'all been hanging out?
Well, homecoming was like October, so it would have been like,
so like three months.
Yeah.
So he's also being super. He was
moving
slow,
very slow. Yes.
Taking his time. Yeah. Not rushing into anything.
I just don't think he's one. I don't know.
He's not a player.
I think he was nervous. So. Yeah. But I mean, we had like built a great friendship, and we, you know, spent a lot of time together.
But at this point, you're like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
To be your girlfriend.
Yeah.
I've been waiting since kindergarten.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so it was New Year's night. We actually went back to my family's place, and it was like a group of six or eight of us, like my friends and their boyfriends at the time. And we did the countdown in the living room, whatever. And we were all just hanging. And I told my friends after, I was like, kissed me.
We haven't kissed yet either.
Yeah, we haven't kissed.
And he's taking it
so
super
I'm
slow.
Like, whoa, like, not that I wanted him to kiss me in front of my parents, because that would have been weird, but still, I
but
was
you're
just
ready
like,
for it.
Yeah, I was like, we've been talking for a long time.
Like, are like, we gonna do this?
Are we gonna
not?
Do it? Yeah, I'm kind of at that point. And so,
are you gonna kiss me or not? That song was written for y'all.
Yes, my mom says that too.
Are you serious?
I guess because she knows all that stuff with him. Anyways. Yeah, so we go outside, and one of the friends, I think, told him. He was super awkward, but that was our first kiss that night.
How was it?
I mean, I was just like, you're like a peck. That was it. Not anything. I will say, I went in for a second one, and I got his cheek.
He gave you the cheek?
He gave me the cheek.
No.
Yeah, so I was like, okay. And then we hugged it out for a little bit. I don't know. It's funny to talk about it now, because we were just so awkward back in the day.
But how sweet and innocent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, young
and
love.
And it's so cute that, I mean, that he won American Idol. He could have started turning into some big player, but that's just not who he was.
Yeah, that's just not his personality, yeah.
So then after that,
a small town gal.
But I mean, he's a genius to have you, because you're just a ray of light. So beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Inside and out. And something I love about you guys, you can tell just from your Instagram and seeing you guys, y'all's faith is so strong.
Oh, yes.
And so that has always been a part of you, your life and his separately, but together as well.
Yes. Yeah. That was always a big thing. I grew up in the faith. My family grew like, we're just very strong in our faith and believing in God. And he was too. He grew up with it too. But something that...
That's my dog, Sugar, everyone. She's probably barking at the mailman.
Yeah, intimidating.
She sounds like she'll eat you alive.
Yeah.
But she's also sweet as sugar.
I know. She's so cute and tiny.
I mean, sorry, everyone. This is called Get Real.
Our dog needs to get a voice like that. He's probably three times Sugar size.
God, Sugar's...
Now,
she sounds
not,
she has rabies.
Yeah.
Your dog
She's
is
just letting everyone
your dog
know.
Moose?
Yeah, Moose.
Oh, we gotta talk about Moose, because y'all got him once you got married.
Yes. Yeah, we got him in January of this year. So he's so cute.
He's a big
boy. I love
now.
Him. Yes. We had
what
a
kind of dog
this
is
morning.
He?
A yellow lab.
So those are the sweetest.
Yes. So sweet. He means well. He's been counter surfing lately, and literally taking everything he shouldn't.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're having issues with that. But otherwise, he's very sweet. He just wants to be loved on.
That's okay. Sugar is stealing all the baby toys and thinking they're hers. I'm like, Sugar.
Love it.
Dogs can't help it. They just...
Yeah.
You know, if I was
a
dog...
Like, that's my toy. That looks like a toy for me. Cool.
If I was a dog and all I did was eat dog food, I'd try to counter surf too.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, shoot, there's some brisket up there. Let me grab it.
Yes, I know. Let me see what crumbs I can get on.
I mean, it has to be boring to eat dog food every day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then I guess I can't tell the difference between like edible food and items that you just shouldn't even have.
Right. So hopefully they don't ingest something that takes them to the vet. Yeah.
Well, he's already done that. But,
what?
I don't really know. We haven't quite figured out. Well, he's eaten raisins, which are really bad. Yeah. Which are really bad for dogs, but he was fine during it. I had to give him, it was funny. I had my nursing home nursing moment with him. I gave him fluids at home.
Because you're a nurse?
Yeah. I had a call out of work that night, and I was like, sorry, I have to take care of my own patient at home. but he was just fine from that. And then recently we came home and he was thrown up and he looked not well at all. So we brought him in, and I don't know, we were waiting for him to poop it out, but we never found anything. I mean, like, we saw little pieces of like tennis ball and stuff, but that's like the usual stuff. That's not anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if maybe a whole bunch of that just
he just got
added
a little,
up.
A little overexcited.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't under, you can't give him a toy anymore and him like
not eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's
and it's miserable right now because I'm like, I, like every toy I'm just having. Yeah, I'm like, I just want you to enjoy your toys and play with them and not ruin everything you touch.
I must destroy this toy.
He's getting all the squeaky things inside it.
Yes.
And I'm like, come on, dude. Like,
oh, yeah, no. That's, yeah. They can't help it.
Yeah, and then it goes in the trash. So he's just losing his toys one by one. Soon he won't have anything. But then that makes me nervous because he's going to start going to
counter crazy again own
stuff, yeah,
or your yeah. Yes, our stuff, yeah. Like household items,
yeah.
Oh, good luck.
I know.
Okay, so back to faith. So you have always had a big faith.
Yes. Yes, so we always have had a big faith. That's a big part of our relationship. I guess what I was trying to get at is just our parents raised us both to know that we are like full in ourselves on our own, and that's something that I really love about us, is that we knew who we were before we got married. We knew who we were in Christ kind of before we got married.
So just deeply rooted in God first.
Yes, in God first. So that's been kind of a blessing to have that like continuing on. And then, you know, just knowing that it's just really cool to see, because I just feel like with our story and different things, like the day we got married, you know, you're reflecting on all of that and you're thinking like, I mean, this really is like a God moment that, or a God thing that we got together, like, because it's just his love shines brighter through us together than separate. Like, his love shines through us separate, but it's so cool to see how much love shines through us.
Tell me how God comes through him. You guys. Like, how do y'all incorporate God into your marriage?
I mean, the love, I think, is a huge thing. Just people seeing, like, the genuine love that, I mean, we really do have that for each other. I mean, we get flustered with each other, clearly, but like that love is just like something that it's unconditional. It's real. He's there through the ups and downs. And you know, he has always made me feel like I should be the most loved person in the world.
Oh,
which is so sweet. Like, he really genuinely does. And when I think about it, I'm like, I don't deserve this kind of love, which is the same love that Jesus gives us. Like, we don't deserve this kind of love, but he continues to share that with us every day.
So he puts you first, like, obviously God first, but has you in a way that makes you feel safe and cherished.
Yes. And I've never questioned it. Like, that's something, like, we've never struggled with in our relationship.
Even with him blowing up and becoming a star. Yeah,
I mean, he's always made me just feel like I'm the only woman in the world for him, which is so sweet. Because I know I'm just, like, you know, a chill gal, but he really makes me feel like I'm on top of the world sometimes. And I'm like,
So how does he do that? What are some sweet things that he does?
Let's see. I mean, we really joke a lot. So, I mean...
What's he like to be married to?
So we're both messy people.
Oh, that works out. Because one messy, one clean would probably get on each other's nerves.
I know. But it's little things like anytime that I like start to get flustered about things, like majority of the time we get flustered about, like, I've been working several days in a row and laundry's not done, or, you know, dishes aren't done, or the house is kind of a wreck. So I'm coming home and I'm tired and stuff. And he's always like, he may not do it then, but he's always picking that up. Like, he knows, like, he can tell what I'm feeling, even if I even have to voice it. But then, like, after that, like, he's always, like, responding in that way. And
to help showing, you.
Yeah, yeah, and helping in that.
He wants to take the load off of
you. Yes, yeah, yeah.
So he'll go out of his way to do things to de-stress you.
Yes, yeah.
Which that's is sweet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I will say, like, last night we were leaving for Nashville, and I'd worked on Monday night. I was like a zombie all yesterday, and we were watching Stranger Things on TV.
So. I saw y'all were that for Halloween one year.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So y'all are diehards.
Yeah, we really love it. And we really binge watched yesterday, I'll be honest. We probably watched 5 or 6 episodes yesterday.
Is it amazing?
It's so good. Have you watched it?
I watched the first one. I got scared because I'm like, what if there really are aliens that are going to come and take over our houses and our world?
I don't follow politics that much, but they were talking about like the Russian involvement and everything recently, and that's what, like, it's the Russians are the bad guys in this. Anyways, I was like, what if this becomes real? Like, what if the
yes, like, I get nervous when things like maybe could be real. Not that I really think they are, but like,
yeah,
my brain is so overactive
that, yeah,
it freaks me out.
Yeah.
So I watched like the first few episodes and all of a sudden these like Christmas lights were blinking. Oh, yeah. And then that girl's, yeah, like nose was bleeding.
Yeah.
And a monster like ate somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the pool diving board or something.
Yeah.
And then that's the first season. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can handle this.
You know what's crazy is like, it's very like sci-fi kind of like vibe. And I wouldn't necessarily think I would like something like that, but I'm so into it. I mean,
you're not scared? It's just
No, that first season, it scared me. I'll be honest. Like, there were definitely like scary scenes, but now it's like, I know what to like kind of expect.
Should I try again?
There's some gross things like in this season. And yeah, I think you should.
I should try
again? Just fall in love with those kids. They're just so cool. Like, okay. Outside of like the show, I'm obsessed with Millie Bobby Brown. Like, I'm like, you're 16 and you're this cool. You're
a total badass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try. So you're binging Stranger Things.
Sorry. Yes. And so then like late night comes, it's probably like 9 and we could have watched the last episode and I'm like, this house is a wreck. We need to like get things situated, 'cause we're going on the road after this and we're not going back home. I'm not packed. Like, so I start panicking and like, I clearly have a freak out, but I mean, he's just like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, I need you to clean the kitchen. And he's like, okay. Like, he doesn't say anything. He just starts doing it. I'm like, and then I come down, I'm like, I'm sorry. That was really mean. I'm grumpy.
That's your really mean. You're like so sweet. I'm sorry. I really asked you to mean I clean the kitchen. You're such a sweetheart.
Yeah. But yeah, so things like that. I mean, and he at shows, he talks about me a lot, which is very sweet. He doesn't have to do that.
Will he say?
He says very nice things. And I'm like.
Like on stage?
Yeah.
Like what? Give me an example.
He'll talk about our story. He loves talking about our love story and just
how y'all like met in kindergarten.
In kindergarten, how I have it in my diary, and here we are today. Which I always am like, he wouldn't know this if my mom didn't share this.
Thanks, mom.
Yeah, thanks, mom. But yeah, he just says that, and then he always talks about how lucky he is to be married to me and things like that. Just very sweet. Yeah, yeah.
What are your favorite things about your marriage together? Like, what makes you most happy in your marriage?
I love my love language is quality time. So obviously like when we get to spend time together, but we joke around a lot. We can be so goofy with each other. And he's always told me, he's like, I pull out a different side of him, like a very goofy side that like most people don't. So like, I know that he's being his like full self. Like we're both being our full selves when we're together. So we just,
that's a freeing feeling to be able to be yourself.
Yeah, we're just goofy and love to have fun, and we're both awkward. We talk about how awkward we are all the time.
How are y'all awkward?
Well, just in life, just with different things. Like we both just are very, like, we don't. He's always said this too, but neither of us think much of ourselves. So when people are like,
what do you mean? You're like, incredible.
No, not like in a bad way, but like when people are like, oh, y'all are so cool. I mean, we think we're cool people, but we don't think we're like these like way up high. We're like, we're just regular people. Like we do all the same things you do kind of thing. And so it's just really funny. Like, I don't know. I'll tell him stories about work that I'm like super awkward in, like with patients or people finding out that I'm married, and I'm just like, I don't know how to react around this. Like, I'm just a person. He's just a person.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So, and just how, like, I mean, we're both like, he's with the, you know, the whole music world, we're both like still figuring all of that out too. So
it's a wild west out there. It's a journey.
Yeah, it is.
How have y'all dealt with that ever since? How has he dealt with becoming an overnight success? And diving headfirst into the music industry.
Yeah.
And then how have you dealt with that? Because y'all are both like literally overnight into the stardom world.
Yeah.
In country music world.
Yeah.
It's not like y'all have been. I mean, he's obviously, I'm sure, been playing and singing forever. But like with American Idol, it switches overnight.
It does. And for him, I think he's been, while we were dating, he went through his like low period.
What made him feel low?
Well, he went from American Idol star to trying to fit into the Nashville world, like the country singing world, and they weren't taking him seriously because they were like, you're just a TV star. Like, you know, and so he's trying to genuinely make a name for himself and like be an artist, and, you know, things weren't fully being seen.
Was that so frustrating for him?
For him, I think so. Because he's
coming off a huge high too.
Yeah. Well, and that too. Yeah. And I think it's also hard when you do come off such a high so fast, and you're at, I mean, he was at all these award shows singing and like doing all that. And then all of a sudden, like, he's trying to rebrand himself, and he kind of goes through a phase where he's like, he has to start over.
Why did it dip? Like, why does that happen? How does the shiny new wear off?
Yeah, I think it's just, there's a lot of business stuff that goes on, as we all know, but I think it's, I don't know. I think it was that he was this young kid that everyone viewed as this, you know, 16, 17 year old kid that was on TV. And now he was like trying to just be taken a little more seriously as an adult, you know, and just be seen more for, you know, his music and himself rather than being known for just a TV show. And granted, that was an amazing like starting point that, you know, anyone is lucky to have. Yes. Because it's, I mean,
it's a rocket ship.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, instant. And he never thought that was going to happen.
Like, he won the whole thing.
Yeah. He never thought, like, in a million years, he's like, I went to audition and thought they'd just be like, cool, bye, you know? And then all of a sudden he's in this whirlwind of just being like, yeah, all the way to the top. And he's just like, whoa, you know,
that's hard for anybody to handle.
Yeah.
Process.
Yeah. So I just don't think
it all happens fast. You make your album fast. You put a single out fast. You're on tour fast. Yes. You're on award shows fast.
And I think all of that, like, I remember him saying, like, with the albums he was making and things, he was like, I just don't feel like they're me. Because he didn't have to do it so fast.
He didn't have a chance to probably even write all the songs. Any.
Yeah, he was just having
hearing to, songs. Yep. Like, he had to just kind of pick them quickly. Yep. He's 17.
People are kind of telling him what to do, you know, because he's
not really, like, totally fully himself musically yet because it's all happening so fast.
Yes.
So, yeah. So then,
for someone that young to be thrown into that all of a sudden, I mean, you learn a lot about life real fast.
What do you think he learned and what did you learn in that time period?
You know, I just think that you learn things are fleeting.
That's so true.
You just take every moment you get, like, and you really want to kind of, like, live it up while you can, because it is fleeting. Like
the highs won't last forever, the lows won't last forever.
Right. And I think that's something that's really humbled us towards everything, because once you kind of, like, have seen that, you're like, okay, like, you know, it's going to be fun when it, like, if he gets back up there again, you know, and he's clearly doing just fine right now, but, like, you know, but I don't know. It's just, things are fleeting and you just have to take each moment as they come.
You can't hinge your life on success.
Yes.
Especially success that is so, what is that word? It's not like a sports thing where you practice and you win games and like you can.
Yeah.
It's so subjective.
Yes.
Subjective in the music industry.
Yes. Yeah.
So he had a low period. How long did that low period last? And then how did he reinvent himself? And how did you help him through that low period?
Yeah. I want to say it was 2016 maybe. He got dropped by his label, and that came at him from, like, left field. Like, he was kind of, like, not expecting that.
He had success.
He had some success, yeah. He had a couple songs that came out. I'm trying to think which ones. I think maybe See You Tonight had come out. But it just didn't it just didn't work out, kind of thing.
Was that devastating and for him?
For him, yes. I mean, he saw his whole career done. Like, I think immediately, and for us in our relationship, that was hard because I'm always the kind of person that's like, okay, we're going to pick our boots up and we're going to figure this out and it'll be just fine. And I don't care. Like, and I've always been that way. I'm like, if you are not a singer, I do not care. Like, you know, we love each other for who we are. Like, it doesn't matter. So, like, regardless, like, we're going to be fine. But I get it. Like, his whole world changed all of a sudden, and he just didn't see necessarily like that light at the end of the tunnel.
And this was his passion, and he wanted to continue being a successful artist. I mean,
right. And so all of those things, I mean, everything just kind of came crashing down in his world.
So how did he deal with it?
Yeah, I think he just had a lot of self-reflection. I think he had to do a lot of figuring that out. And I think
those
I had
are good to, periods, even yes. though that is so heavy and so hard and they suck.
Yeah.
It is really good to just go ahead and figure out how to live through that
stuff. Yeah, and I agree, yeah. And I will say we had a moment that we almost broke up during that time.
Why?
Really, it was our 4-year anniversary that we always talk about. It's funny. Well, it wasn't funny at the moment, but now it's funny to look back on. I mean, he was just like in the pits, like, and he just wasn't himself fully, and he wasn't like our relationship was struggling from that because he wasn't.
He just felt bad. He's probably depressed a little bit.
He was. Yeah, I think he was going through depression kind of. And so we were struggling. And I remember going to his house and just being like, look, I think maybe you need time to figure things out for yourself. Like, maybe you do. And he kind of was like, look, like if you leave, like he was like, if you leave, this is the icing on the cake. Like, you know, kind of was just like we need to stay together. And
I'm already at the bottom.
I'd love him. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, exactly.
But you're like, I just want you to have time to reflect and figure this out.
Right, because I was just like, I don't know what else to do for you because I'm trying to be here for you, but I don't
know what to do.
Yeah,
this is like
right. And in those situations, like sometimes you can't do anything. Like that's something he does need to, like, you know, get figured out. But yeah, no, I think it was a lot of self-reflection and leaning on God during that time just to, I mean, I feel like your faith becomes so much stronger when you're kind of in the pits. I mean, because you figure out like your worth isn't just in these moments.
It's hard. It really sucks to be there.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've had some pit moments. My husband Michael's had pit moments. And it's like when you're there, especially like the first time that you get there, it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm not gonna live through this.
Yeah.
This is devastating. Every single dream I have has crashed to the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
What's left for me? Right. Who am I?
Yes. Yeah.
How will I ever go on now? It's like you're also, there's your pride that's hurt, you know? And it's like rebuilding is hard. Where to even start?
Right. Right.
I know.
Yeah. And I feel like when you're at the bottom, you're just like, okay, how am I gonna do this? Like,
and looking up at the top of that hill, it's like, oh my gosh, that climb is so steep,
right?
And there's gonna be worth it
to do it. And
will I fail? Yeah. Will I be able to have success again?
Right.
Am I over?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. So how did he finally be like, I'm done being in the pits. Here I go. I am starting my climb back up. How did that happen? And then he did it.
Yeah. So he had had a couple of songs that he wrote before he had left the label. Five More Minutes was one of them. In Between, which is his new one out now. That he knew were good. Like, he had written them, like, they were him. Like,
it
he was becoming
true.
More him. Yeah. And he had to get those back, buy those back, because, you know, like, they were the labels.
But he believed in them. So
but
he
believed
them
in
back.
Them. Yeah. So he believed in them enough to buy them back. And I think he had a solid team around him that really knew he was something, not good, but, like, he had something. Yeah. And like kind of was like, we don't think this is over for you kind of thing. He had great support system in that field of just saying like, okay, we're going to figure something out for you. And one was his publicist that's now his manager. I mean, he's been so amazing. I mean, he's believed in him since day one and hasn't stopped. So like when you have that, I think that is such a big help, you know, like, to
have
know,
someone
like,
who's just been there, like, never wavered.
We believe in you.
Not fair weather.
Yeah.
Not fair weather
yes.
person.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
there for the long
and
haul.
And you know, his band was with him during that time too. He's had the same band for like 7 years, which
That's
is really
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
So they're like a
family.
Family.
Yeah. And they went through him during that time and like stuck with them. So like the fact that they were there, you know, saying like, you know, we're going to stick it out. Like clearly shows weren't very good during that time. Like all that stuff, no new singles were coming out, but we're going to stick it out with you. I mean, that was amazing too.
How long was this time period from when he got dropped to when?
I'd say about a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't remember like when he actually joined his new label that he's on, but they went for him too. And it's a smaller one, but I mean, it's been really cool to see. I mean, because it's also, they believe in them too now.
And that label's awesome.
Yeah.
Because they, when they sign, it's 30 Tigers, right?
Or Triple Tigers.
Trickle Tigers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Triple Tigers.
Yeah.
When they sign someone, they are like all in and doing, because Russell Dickerson's over there and they're doing the same thing with
him. Yes, and they're very small. And I know very little about business. Like, I don't know everything about it, but I just know like they don't have as many artists, so they can really hone in and focus on them, which is nice. So yeah.
So y'all got married though when he was kind of still in the pit.
No.
Okay.
Because that was last year that we got married.
Okay. And so Five More Minutes came out after y'all got married or before?
Before.
And was it Rising? Was it already
that
gone
had already
one?
Gone number one. And then This Is It was out. Was just released into the radio during that time.
Okay. So it was just perfect. A celebration. Y'all went from like, okay, we've been through A, getting to know each other our whole life.
Yeah.
B, superstar rise.
Yeah.
C, falling down to the pit.
Yeah.
And then here we go back again. That makes for, and yeah. then you're so rooted in God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that really makes for a strong foundation.
Yeah.
And you've been there the whole time and never wavered.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, obviously y'all have regular yes. human things
right. yeah.
and, you know, you've got your issues, but like.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, I guess my family, we've always, my mom's like, you're with each other in the good and the bad. Like, you're going to stick it out. Like, we've never, neither of us have ever thought like, oh, this is bad, we're out kind of thing. Like, we don't think like that. We're like, we're going to work through this.
Always good.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, what is good, what is bad?
Because yeah.
looking back on the bad moments, wouldn't you say back. They yeah. were like very useful? And,
yeah,
like,
and very growing, like,
and yes. growing who you were meant to be.
Yep. Yeah.
And strengthening yourself and your relationship yeah. together.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
And
I,
God comes out in those moments the most.
The
and so,
most.
When you see all of that, you're like, okay, well, I can't be mad about this happening because this built me up 10 times more.
Does it make you just have to lean on God more in those moments?
Yeah, for sure.
What does that look like for you when you are like, I have no idea where we're going, how to get out of here, but I'm just going to have faith even yeah. though everything seems to suck right now?
Yeah.
Like, how, what is that? How do you do that?
You know, it's a lot of devotion and prayer and time spent just like kind of one-on-one, like taking yourself back and saying, okay, like I'm going to sit down, I'm going to kind of like regroup, and I'm going to take these days to like really just listen to what God has to tell me. And
how do you
pray
hear
about
God?
It? Through prayer. I feel like through prayer is like the most. I also think he definitely gives you signs of just like little things that people say or things you come across and, you know, day-to-day things that you're like, okay.
Like little God like, winks.
Yeah. You're like, okay, well, I think here he's trying to tell me something. Like,
so you look for signs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I do. I think I'm one of those people who, like, I love listening to podcasts and different things and even songs. Like, I love hearing this. So I think that, like, if you're in this moment and you're listening to something, you can only, like, reflect on those, like, words you hear. And so the more words you hear, I feel like, are the better.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they're rooted in Christ, like that's even 10 times better mm-hmm. to hear and kind of have a better understanding of where he's coming from or what he wants for you. And like, we all know he wants the best for us. So I think in those down moments, you know that you're going to come out of the pits. He's not going to leave you there. Like,
and you know that it's for your
yeah.
benefit.
Oh yeah.
God, I know. It's so hard to believe that.
Yeah.
It's especially like when like really bad things happen, like career is one thing, but it's like sometimes like awful tragedies yeah. happen and stuff.
Right.
And it's like God is there too, but it's finding that faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do feel like that's what this life is about.
Yeah.
Is just figuring out how to lean on God through everything.
Yeah.
Because life can be so heavy.
It can. Yeah. And honestly too, with that, like when you do lean on God, like life can be heavy, but then you find that joy that God gives you, that he just shines through you. So then you're not, like, all of those worries go away.
Because you don't have to carry
joy,
them yourself.
Yeah, he's carrying those burdens for you. So, like,
how do you hand them over? I always love to know that. Like, when you feel burdened and heavy, how do you hand it to God?
Yeah, and look, I've been through my moments that, like, I hold on to things. I overthink things, and I'll sit there and, like, wallow in things for, like, a while. But it's just finally, I think I'll have, like, some self-talk, and I'm like, all right. Like, you're going to get up, you're going to stop wallowing in this, and you're going to figure it, like, God's here. He's got you. Like,
do you get to a point where you can't stand it anymore?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a big thing that I like to do, I love going on like runs. And so that
you
is
really like
my,
a half marathon and stuff, right?
I did. Yeah. That was my first one this past year.
How many have you done?
Just one.
Go
but
you.
But we're signed up for another one. But it's a Disney one. I'm really excited about
it. Do Disney World yes. or Land?
Yeah. Or Disney World. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Okay, that's been the most magical marathon
ever.
Yeah,
I'm so hype. but yeah, I love running. Like, running is like one of my things I love, but it's also like a time that I can kind of be free and just reflect on things too. And that sounds weird. Most people need like pump up music when they're running, but I can listen to like all my like motivational like Christian songs that are just like, allow me to start get my brain moving. And mm-hmm. you know what, after a long run, sometimes I have the most clarity like that I've ever had before. I'm just
really?
Like, okay, Like, I feel good about this. Like, honestly, and I remember, this sounds so silly. Like, I'm so bad at making decisions. And I remember I was like, this is very, very vain. But I couldn't figure out what wedding dress I wanted.
Well, that's
and
that a big really, deal.
It is a big deal. But I was panicking. And I went on a jog. And by the end of the jog, I was like, I know which one I want.
How'd you know?
I don't know. It just was like, a feeling? This one's for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a feeling just came over you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So so you will go for a run and get just waves of clarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You almost like run it out.
Almost like God talks to me in my runs. Like that's our moment, like together. Cause it's like, there's no one talking, like there's no distractions. It's me and I'm honed in on what I'm doing. Like, or like I'm just like thinking about things. And so, you know,
that's amazing.
As weird as it is, it's like I'm praying during that.
It's like meditating.
I'm not closing my eyes during it. Clearly.
It's almost like meditating.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, runs are definitely, they provide a lot of clarity.
Well, and that's amazing because you're like working your body out, but you're also like giving your brain this break.
This guy's like, how do you like, why do you like running? And I'm like, I don't know, I just do.
Because it like clears everything up, makes you feel like physically and mentally.
Yeah, yeah.
And connected to God.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, you call Scotty Scoot?
I do.
Where did I
say that?
You talked about it on your Instagram.
Oh, okay. I was like, have I already said that?
Where did the little Scoot Scoot come from?
I don't know. One of my good friends in high school, I think may have called him Scooter or something, and then I just shortened it to Scoot, and that's just how it is. That's all I call him now.
You only call him Scoot?
Yeah. Like, I cannot call him Scotty. Like, it's just weird for me to talk to him and say, oh, hey, Scotty. Like, no. Like,
it's Scoot.
It's Scoot, yeah.
Does he call you anything?
I don't know. Gabi. My name's weird enough, so.
Gabi. I know. I had to practice. Gabi. I love that, though. Is it Cajun?
Yes, Cajun.
Very Cajun.
Very, very French Cajun, you know.
So how do you deal with road life? Because you're a nurse, obviously.
Yeah.
So you're working, saving lives.
Yeah. Doing what I can.
And then he's gone, but you go with him sometimes.
Yes.
So, and y'all don't live in Nashville.
We don't live in Nashville.
So how do you deal with this world?
Well, you know, it's something, like, people ask me that a lot, but we've been doing it since we've been dating. So it's not like anything new to our relationship. Like, that's the only thing we fully knew, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I just make it, the nice thing with nursing is that you only work 3 days a week. So I can make, and it's all any days of the week. So you make your schedule in advance, and
that's amazing.
So there's so much flexibility in that schedule that, like, if I know I want to go on the road with him, I'll work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'll go on the road with him for the weekend. Or if I know I'm staying home, but he's going on the road, I'll just work the weekend and then I'm off when he's like actually home on Monday through Wednesday, which is funny because those are like our weekends. Like, Monday through Wednesday are our weekends, which I'm sure are for you guys too. But
yeah, because he's home chilling.
Yeah.
Well, you're working though sometimes.
And sometimes I'm working too. So, I mean, we just make time as it is. We're both pretty like independent people. So, like, we're okay. Like, that sounds bad, but like, we're okay with
that's wonderful.
Like,
we
obviously we want to make sure we make time to spend with each other each week, but like, we're okay if we don't see each other like all the time. Yeah.
So how often do you like to go on the road?
So right now he has a bus with 12 guys on it and there's only 12 bunks. So when I go on the road, I am in the back and I just always feel bad. And they love, like, they would never want me to feel uncomfortable or anything. And I know that they love me when I'm there, but I just know that that is their work time and they store all their stuff in the back. And so I probably go at like every other month or so throughout the year. But this summer, Sky did get a second bus out just for like a couple months. And so I'm going to try and go more coming up, like just here and there, just because then I know I'm like,
you got space.
Yeah. Well, this, and I'm not getting in other people's way too.
I get that. We're 1,000 horses. There's 4 band members and then all the bus.
Yeah.
And the crew. And so like a lot of times when all the wives come out, we would double bunk.
Yeah. Jeez. Ugh. How do you do that? I cannot.
Oh my God.
I've never tried it, but I'm just like, I don't think I could do that.
I don't think I'll ever do it again. Especially now that I'm pregnant, well, it's not in the cards for me. But then afterwards, I just think those days have to be done.
Yeah.
You just get in there and you get crammed and you're sweaty and but
you just do
you
it.
You just do it.
Yeah. You don't have anything else. Yeah.
And I think, that's why like I'm glad when we were doing it, everything was so new and exciting and they're on tour and it's so fun.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of just like down for it. But then after a while, you're like, okay, I can't do this forever.
Right, right. And I love it. And like the weekends I'm out, I'm like, this is great. Like, this is so fun, so cool. But when I get home, I'm like, a shower, you know, like different things that you're just like, oh, this is nice. My own space, a big bed, you know, things like that. That are
because
just...
people think a touring bus is like this magic machine.
Yeah.
No. And granted, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Right. It is incredible. And right. it is so awesome.
Yes.
But like once you're living in it.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh my gosh, this is like this sparkly.
It's not glamorous.
Glamorous yeah. time machine that like yeah. takes you to like this awesome yeah. world.
Right.
It's like there's smelly guys.
Yeah.
Who pee on the toilet. There's socks and underwear and shoes everywhere.
Yeah. You're showering in the next spot wherever you can like.
Yes, finding a shower yeah. like a lot of times at the venue.
Yes, at the venues. Yep.
Yep. There's just like people everywhere. There's no personal space.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's also like it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I feel like, I mean, and I, like you said, like it is fun for those periods. It's just. It's not what everyone cracks it up to be, I think. Yeah, yeah. I remember we were at Stagecoach and we had some people come on. They just wanted to like tour the bus yeah. and they were like, this is it. Like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, this is what we're used to. This is what happens here. Yeah. And they were just kind of mind blown. And I was like, well, this is what we all know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Scotty was proposing to you, I also saw that he fell off the side of a mountain.
Oh, he didn't actually fall. Thank gosh.
I mean, that would have been awful.
No, that would have been awful. We went on this cliff. So we had run or found this cliff a while back with one of my good friends.
And how long had y'all been boyfriend, girlfriend before he proposed?
Almost 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's moving. He takes his time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He always needs 5 more minutes.
Yeah. Which I will say, I pushed for that a little bit because I was like, I want to get out of college. I want to get my career started as a nurse, like figure that out first. And then once I feel comfortable, then like... I feel like that's
and you're only 25 time. Right now.
Yes.
Is he also 25?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's not like y'all yeah. just jump into marriage.
We weren't in any like rush at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had this this cliff that we had found previously, and we kind of both knew it was a special spot because we had come across it. Like it's not a well-beaten path. Like not many people go up there, kind of thing. So. We found like he proposed up there, but it's terrifying looking from pictures. And granted, if you do look down at where you're sitting at in certain spots, I mean, it is a long way down. Like I don't think you make it out alive. So in photos and stuff, people are like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah. But I will say when he was proposing, he couldn't find a good, like he couldn't find a good spot and he was so nervous. And I was like, we don't have to do it right here. We can go back on the rock over propose? There.
Could you feel it?
I could tell. He was being so awkward that morning.
He was?
Yeah.
Like what?
It just, he went upstairs and like we have a book bag that we bring like just when you hike whatever with mm-hmm. snacks and stuff. And he took it upstairs and he was up there for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, what are you doing up there? And I had an idea because I feel like we always knew that might be the spot that it would happen. And just other things. Like I had found some water bottles in the car and we hadn't found any inside. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just put these in the book bag. And then I kind of saw his face and I said, I'm just going to let you do that when we get there.
So like, don't touch the book bag.
Certain things. I was like, okay. And he was just being super, just not himself fully. Like, and we've known each other for so long that we were
so
like,
you knew.
Okay.
You're like, okay.
Tell. Yeah. It's... And then he took so long when we were up there. I'm like, when are you going to, like, I know it's happening at this point. Just do it. And I'm not like telling him this. Like, I'm just trying to act normal, but I'm like, just do it. Like,
so how did he do it? He found a spot.
He found a spot. Like he said, it was really cute. He set up a little GoPro, like far a little ways out. And I didn't see him do that. And then we're kind of sitting on the edge and I don't remember everything he said.
And then he fell off the cliff.
Yeah, and then he fell off the cliff. No. But he just got like, he had bad footing. And I was like, you don't have to do it right here. Like, I don't want you to die. Like,
please don't die proposing to me. That's not what I want.
Yeah, no. And so, anyways, we made it out alive. We were good to go. And then when we got back to the condo, both our families were there. So sweet.
Oh
yeah, so everyone was there and we got to celebrate with them. So yeah,
that's it. Do both your families, do y'all all live in the same hometown?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Both our parents do.
That's amazing.
I know. I think that's what's key. Like we had talked when we first got married, maybe moving to Nashville, and then we're just spoiled. Like, we have family so close that we're like, I don't know. And they're both there. So, like, yes. Not many people have that.
And it seems like y'all been able to work it out with him not being in Nashville. Does he come to town and, like, do writing trips and stuff? Or how does he balance the need to be in Nashville and staying? Is South Carolina?
North Carolina. Yeah.
How does he balance that?
You know, he just kind of takes the, like, we always sit down, like, with our schedules in advance, because I usually get mine a little bit in advance. And we just kind of, like, anytime he gets an offer for, you know, writing or whatever, we talk it out and we're like, well, you're off this day, go for it, you know?
And he'll fly in town?
Mm-hmm. He'll fly into town and write. He'll usually make it 2 or 3 days when he's in town.
And do, like, then, several writes?
And do a couple, yeah. Do a couple at a time, yeah.
Just kind of make little writing trips.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and he usually tries to do it in a season of time, like, because he's like, that's when he's feeling the vibes. Kind of
thing. Well, that's a real thing. Like, your creative juices aren't always on.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Sometimes,
like, when you're, like, writing an album, I know with, like, Michael, like, he'll get, like, burst of tons of inspiration and energy, and then it, like, right after they make the album,
they're just kind of done.
It's almost like he's dried up for a little while. Yeah. He just needs to refill. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I mean, and I feel like people, just creatives, are like that. Like, once you have, like, poured yourself into writing, into making all these songs, like, just, okay, I'm gonna take a break.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna take a little break and refill.
Yeah. After a while of doing all of that, yeah, you definitely need it. Did you write songs too?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know all of that too.
Yeah. I never loved writing songs. Yeah. Like, I was in a trio, and so, like, writing songs was just a part of what we did, and we always wrote together. I never had this, like, burning passion for it. I did. Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I never felt like I was this, like, epic songwriter.
Yeah. I feel like that's how Sky feels, but he just likes having things that come from his own experience.
Maybe. Well, he wants to sing about his truth.
Yeah. I think that's what makes him too, as an artist. So
I think it's great when you can write as an artist, because you're telling your stories.
Like, it's becoming more and more a thing too. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about that the other day. I mean, almost everyone who sings now writes their own songs too.
Yeah,
like, it's definitely. And that wasn't the case back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, people definitely wrote songs for other people.
Well, and that's the thing with Nashville. There's so many hit songwriters that are writing songs every day.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, you might as well listen to these songs and see if any of them relate to you.
Yeah.
I got to interview Trisha Yearwood, and she said that she was like, I am a song interpreter. Like, she has written before, but she likes to hear songs that make her feel something.
And once you hear something,
And as long as I feel like you connect with it as the artist, whether you wrote it or not, if it's a story that you feel like is something that you believe in and is a part of who you are, then
it
really doesn't matter if you wrote it or not. Yeah, but that's true. I get that's very true. Why you want to write songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totes. I can see that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you enjoyed this whirlwind of this life and this career and this doing your nursing and being on the road and marrying your lifelong crush?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we really have. It's a whirlwind for sure. Like, every week's a new week. Everything's different each week. You're just rolling by the seat of your pants. But it's
Are you pretty
fun.
Good at that, at rolling by the seat of your pants?
Yeah, you kind of have to be, I feel like.
Do you get stressed?
I do, but it takes a little bit for me to get stressed. What makes me stressed? Feeling like I don't have enough time to complete things, which, granted, I do things slow anyways.
You do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We talked about Enneagrams.
Oh, what's your number?
And I figured it out. I'm a 9-wing-1.
So you're a peacemaker, but a perfectionist too.
Yes.
Oh, la la. Yeah. Okay, that's a good combo, but I can see where your angst would come.
Yes, right.
Because you're chill, peacemaker.
Yeah.
But then you also are number one, which,
like,
is, like,
make sure everything's, like,
done, perfect, in order, wrapped up.
Yep. Yeah. So when I, like if I feel like I'm being rushed into doing certain things, that's when I'm like,
I got a little panicky.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed at work lately, I've been like that too, because, like, things need to get done fast, and I start panicking more than I used to, and I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Get this together. You're fine.
Isn't it interesting learning about the Enneagram?
Yes. It's so interesting.
Teaches you so much about yourself.
I've told all my friends about it. I was like, everyone in Nashville does this. Like, let's hop on this.
Have all your friends taken it?
They've started to get into it. A couple of them have. We had a girls' weekend last week, and I was like, everyone take the quiz, listen to the podcast, figure out your number. No one did, but but it's still, it's very interesting. I think what I love about it is it's like, it's similar to the love languages. Like, you're finding out more about yourself and how to react in situations, like how you naturally react in situations, and how to help yourself in those, but also learn about other people and how they are too.
It helps you love people better.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can see, like,
oh, you're not
where they're,
like,
coming from.
You're not doing this
Yeah.
You're not doing this to get on my nerves. This is just how you're wired. You're
processing things. Yeah. Yeah.
And like also like love languages, like you said, learning that like your quality time.
Yes. Yeah.
And that like Michael's quality time. Yeah. I'm words of affirmation.
Okay.
So yeah. It's like you once you know
yeah.
what people are and what you are, it's just yeah. makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with me. I was like, I was so enlightened during that trip, but everyone was like, yeah, the Enneagram. And I was like, I need to get on this one.
Yeah, well, because everyone listening, we went on this amazing St. Jude's trip with a bunch of country music wives. Yes. And it was so sweet. We got to tour the hospital and learn about St. Jude.
Yeah.
And what an incredible hospital.
It's amazing. Like, I work at a hospital that, you know, does similar things, but clearly not to the level of St. Jude's. And it is amazing what they do.
Because like, not one parent has to pay for any of the treatment for their child.
Yes.
The cancer research and development is out of this world.
It's all, yeah.
It's amazing.
And there, what is really cool is like where I work at now, like I'm on a peds bone marrow transplant unit, which is part of like some cancer treatments. And they have like therapies and treatments that are called like St. Jude treatments that we do for our kids.
Wow.
So like clearly the research and like some researchers from our hospital are helping in these like research, I guess, like these treatments and stuff too. Like you
that's
see,
that's amazing.
Here. Yeah. So it's really cool to see. It was really cool for me to see that, like how that it all comes connected. Full circle and like, yeah, it gets connected. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they're amazing.
Have you loved being able to help people through your job?
Yes. Yeah. I had a little break where I didn't work and I realized that I needed it. Like
you
that's like part of me, I guess.
What do you love about nursing?
I'm a pediatric nurse, so I love the kids. Yes. Like, and just, I think it's that joy of knowing you're helping other people. Like you're going into a shift and genuinely like pouring love on these people during that whole shift. Like you're not worried about anything else but these kids and you're doing that for them. And I think I just naturally have that like personality, like that helping personality where I'm just like,
nurturing.
Yeah. And I don't want to help myself. I want to help others, if that makes sense.
Oh.
So like that gives me so much joy to do that and know that I'm able to, you know, help them get better, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. So
and I do love it. Probably so sweet. All those kids.
So sweet. I know. Yeah. It's so cute. Yeah.
And kids just want to play.
I know. Yeah. And have fun. So it's like you're trying to get them up and out of there so that they can do that. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at you. You
know.
Well, okay. I would talk to you forever, but here we are at 1 hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Gabby, you are amazing.
Oh, I loved hanging with you.
I'm so happy to see you again. Because the first time I met you was when we did our St. Jude's trip.
I know, yeah.
And you are the brightest, sweetest soul.
You're so sweet.
And I had never met you before.
Yeah. Well, you guys were so open, too. I remember telling you that, but I was like, y'all have been literally the best. Because
Well, it's good because you really didn't know anyone that well.
Yeah.
And you just showed, there's probably like, what, 10 of us, 8 of us?
Maybe 10, yeah.
And that's kind of a big deal to show up on a bus full of people you don't really know, but you're so easygoing.
Well, yeah, I'll do it again. I was just excited to get to know y'all, too.
It's so nice to get to know you. And that's something I love about the country music industry that I have really enjoyed is everyone is so kind, embracing.
Yes,
it's not like some clique where where people are trying to leave you out.
Yeah. Everyone's so endearing and just like, let me learn about you. Let me like wrap my arms around you. We all get it. Like, I think everyone's just in this world of that's a little bit different than some other people. So like you can relate in different ways.
Totally.
So yeah. Yeah.
I feel so thankful to be part of such a great community.
Yes. Yeah.
And the wives are all so amazing.
Yes. I agree with that. 100%.
Okay. So I like to end every episode with Leave Your Light.
Okay.
So just sort of like some advice that you have you would like to share with people about your journey, what you've learned, what you feel like is something important for people to know. It could have to do with your faith. It could have to do with anything, marriage, whatever. Just like, what do you think is something you've picked up along the way that you want to share with people to enrich their lives?
I think just take every day as it comes. I know we've kind of said that already. And more so just trust in God's timing and grace for things.
I love that.
Because we like let him have control of things. Because the more we try and control things, it's just gonna turn into a hot mess.
He's got us.
I think I say that to all my friends all the time. And granted, I need to tell myself that half the time. But like I always am like, hey, don't worry about it. He's got us. Like he's written our story out. We are just fine. You know, we're winning in the end. like he's gonna wrap his arms around us, take care of us regardless of what we're going through. So yeah,
that is amazing. And just keeping that faith.
Yes, yes, keeping that faith. Yeah,
especially when you're in the pits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you are such an example of that. Oh, Gabby, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me on your first day in Nashville.
Yes, hey, this and this trip is my first like Nashville podcast, so I feel so cool.
Thank you for joining me.
I was like, I'm nervous for this.
Oh, you crushed it, girl. Yeah,
thanks.
You're a natural. You're gonna be like a podcasting fool. Oh, now
you know.
Yeah, you're. Yeah. I mean, you're gonna be on the circuit.
Oh, thanks. I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Well, thanks for joining me.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Bye.